Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair, you say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and we'll go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick, around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Monday, February 24th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, this is C.A. Nuri. Today's show is brought to you by, where's my read-up? Thank you very much. You're holding it hostage. Today's show is actually brought to you by and sponsored by Click Victory Fest, right? Click the Bear of the Bahamas invites you to Victory Fest 2025. Join us Saturday, March 1st at Smuggler Square for an epic celebration of the 2024 Boxing Day, 2025 New Year's Day, Junkanoo winners, the Saxon Superstars. The Junkanoo season may be over, but the celebration is just getting started. Enjoy music by Playhouse DJs, Lil Giant and DJ Tank, and performing live, Fanshawe and D-Mark. Let's celebrate four straight Junkanoo winners, Saxon Superstars. And again, I want to thank Click for sponsoring the show today. Today, the main topic what I want to talk about, Aaron, but I'm going to go and digress and talk about something else because I want to continue the information I was given about my MP, Fred Mitchell, and the difference, and the confusion. It's a sincere confusion. I understand the public, because I am confused, and I, hopefully the PLB don't do it no more. But we'll see how it goes. But this is what I wanted to speak about, caller. So I see you calling in, but listen. There is a ongoing debate happening in Exuma now about some kind of mooring thing. I'm still researching that. I'm still getting information because my inbox, in fact, my WhatsApp group, my high school WhatsApp group, every conky Joe who are part of my WhatsApp group vexed at it. They've been bombarding my phone saying this is unfair. They ain't won't pay nothing. And I said, you know what? I can investigate it and I can talk about it because y'all just active and loud inside this group, which I'm not used to, right? So I'm going to have a conversation about that. But before I get there, I wanted to continue the conversation Erin had on her show, On the Clock with Erin Green. And regarding who was speaking, was it Fred Mitchell, the MP? Was it Fred Mitchell, the Minister for Foreign Affairs? Or was it Fred Mitchell, the Chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party? There's some confusion there because they are different individuals. I believe the Prime Minister of Perry Christie was like that, like speaking in third person at one point in time. Who was speaking, right? So it's something like that. The voice notes, the Facebook posts, usually is Fred Mitchell, the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party. That is propaganda spin. That's promoting the party. That's defending the party as best he can with whatever information he has in terms of the party. It doesn't necessarily have to do with the government's policy per se, but there are times he mentioned government policy regarding that, right? When he mentioned defended the hiring or the return of retirees, he was saying a PLP policy, not a government policy, in terms of winning from the eyes type thing.
Wipe every tear from every eye.
That quote. saying that they had to empower some matured elderly people. So they as a policy, I assume the PLP brought some people back to make sure that the country stay afloat during a particular era. So they, as a policy, how I interpret it, the PLP empowers retirees who need to take care of Bahamian families. So he wanted to make sure that point is clear. He also congratulated the Minister of Labor, Pierre Glover Roll, and said that was an excellent explanation you gave as the minister, which is separate and apart from what I give as the chairman. And he said he's proud of her. She's standing, Helen fast on that position, that they hired these retirees because we have a employment shortage of talented people. We see that a number of expat investors have been saying that for a while. So, man, we need some more talented. The talent pool needs to improve. And it seems as if it has infiltrated also some branch or retain police officers, some senior teachers, some nurses, and some government officials inside various offices. Hey, we need to put all y'all back on the payroll until we get enough adequate staff there. And I understand the angst. A number of people say, but I hear being training all this time. What you mean it ain't my go? Why are they getting two paychecks? And that's a reasonable debate. But the debate in terms of not there being a shortage of qualified people is real also. And we need to consider both when we are having that discussion. And go ahead, Aaron. I know you want to read something.
We need to consider why there is a shortage of qualified people.
Yeah, that's it. Wrong,
right? We can't just stop at, well, there's a shortage of qualified people.
There is a shortage of qualified
people. I mean, if
you're
the government and you're responsible for education, then don't stop at there's a shortage of qualified people. See, because when I was saying that the D is not satisfactory, when I was saying stop telling people the D is satisfactory.
Yes.
Maybe you don't have enough qualified people because you've told them that the D is satisfactory and they don't feel they need to do anything.
And you are absolutely correct, right? We know, and again, I try not to defend the Minister of Foreign Affairs, but we know that he was trying to modernize the public service for a while when he was the Minister for Public Service, right? He was doing some checks and balance with it. But we also know that the party structure, the PLP, the Effingham party's structure hires cronies also, unqualified people. So it's a yin-yang, snake biting its tail type concept when you're trying to move forward, but in fact you're stepping back also. So hopefully, moving forward, that we're able to fix this vexing problem.
So 2 points I want to make. I am so sorry that I didn't think of it in time to pull the story. But remember that the public service opened a school to train public servants?
Yes, that's still ongoing with the union partner.
So you're telling me even with this initiative that you've opened a school and you've partnered with the unions to train public servants, you still had to bring back 491 of them and 480 at such a senior level that they get the pay and the pension?
I had this debate with a government official, that the number just seems too high. It's not that we, the Bahamian people, are vexed that you had to bring people back. We understand that. But we're expecting the numbers to be like 100, 200.
Okay,
when
so
you're hitting 400 people, we want to know why so many.
Pause. Let's take the 213 for the police force out of it.
Yes.
So 213 from 490, you're looking at what, 470-something?
Yeah, 270-something.
Yeah, okay. How you feel about that number?
It's
still
too
much?
Yeah. After 200, it's a lot. And I expect that 200 be divided throughout the whole civil service.
Here's my problem. The PLP candidate training program is a failure.
It's a failure?
It failed.
You won't believe they qualified? I mean, those PLP candidates are kind of rocking. They could spew out all kind of things.
They can't figure out how to gazette the declarations.
You think they can't figure out how to gazette?
I mean, isn't that the polite thing to say?
They figured how to work around it.
That's the polite thing to say, yeah.
No one else brings that up yet.
The PLP training, candidate training program is not very good. So now, is this an indictment on the day service training program?
Well, it's the government training program, not necessarily this administration, because it's ongoing. I mean, no, this in the civil
no,
service,
no, it's not,
public service.
It's not ongoing. The Davis administration started this initiative.
No, but people go back to school all the time.
Specific initiative that the Davis administration started. They said they're going to start an in-house institute.
Yeah.
For training and continued training of public
service. You sure this wasn't for the foreign affairs and when they're doing ambassadors? I mean, the referencing you doing now.
No, I think it was broader than that.
Okay. Know that all of the public service can go back to school and you are compensated. Once you get pass, they pay you back.
But that's not, why would the government have announced it as if it was something that they created? Here's the second point I want to make. I know you want to go to the phone line. I am deeply troubled that this seems to be the only time the Davis administration, I don't know who he's speaking.
PLP. Yes, you said PLP.
The PLP has referenced and not even directly. When you talk about due to the epidemics of HIV and AIDS and crack cocaine, why you don't talk about the drug era? And then see, because you use that language, the drug era, right? Then I have to ask you, why does the government have a social services program for people who were affected by the drug era? But not just people, senior civil servants. You have a social services program for senior civil servants who were impacted by the drug era. Why are they being prioritized in your response to the drug era, since you say this is a response to the consequences of the drug era?
And again, I think you're mixing up the PLP philosophy, which the chairman was talking about, versus the PLP government mandate.
So we
got to concentrate on who was speaking. The chairman was speaking on behalf of the PLP philosophy.
No, I crack jokes about voice notes.
Yeah.
It's not actually real. The chairman of the party is the minister responsible, is the MP for that area.
We know that
only when we crack, only when I crack jokes is he three people. You think he's a triune? Would you say he's a triune?
He's a good triune.
No. What's it, God, the Holy Ghost, and Jesus? That's the triune.
That's the only one you know.
He is not God.
He's just
what
God.
I'm saying is that we only crack jokes. This way is it that he is making a mockery.
You think it was a mockery? He gave a philosophical response.
He's making a mockery of the drug era, of the state's response to the drug era, or lack thereof, and the senior civil servants who have been called on to return to service. He made a mockery of all of them.
Like I said, I wouldn't have given that explanation, but he did all the same. But let's go to this corner right now. Anything else? Because maybe I want to go back to this mooring. And can you look for that word mooring for me too, so I can educate my listening audience on what it is, so we can hash it out. So when we have that future discussion about what's happening in Exuma, everyone be abreast on what we are talking about. Go ahead, call us. It's Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Of course, Erin Green is with me. She's doing all the definition and thing today. Go ahead. Go ahead,
call.
Good morning.
Yes. Listen, man, from the time we started talking about constitutional reform, unless we reform the Constitution, make some amendments to the Constitution, to cause successive governments to bring in their administrators, you always have this happening. For the most part, executives who come back into the public service, they are rewarded for their loyalty to political parties. That's the reality. And for the most part, lumping them, even in ready performance, okay? Because there's no job in the public service you need more than a year to train for. None. Not a one in the public service you need more than a year to train for. And don't tell me deputy permanent secretary aren't experienced and qualified enough to learn what the permanent secretary do in the monitor. So that's hogwash. That's only craziness.
And let me ask you this, Mr. Pinder, and I recognize your voice, right? Let's talk about permanent secretaries, those senior officials. We have a number of permanent secretaries that were brought back. They're the ones who I assume Ms. Wilson was referring to in terms of the big paycheck. They get their bonus pay or the leaving package, and then they get a contract paying their full salary or more, right? How come there were no succession plan that there would be a new permanent secretary or senior director to take their place, that they had to be brought back in order to cut down the workload?
Well, first of all, I know for sure in the industrial agreement, I put it there when I was president of the union, that there's supposed to be succession planning for every level of the public service. That's number one. Number two, you turn on the rat to watch the cheese. I can train somebody to take my job, and I know if my government can get come back in there and get a contract to train people, they ain't gonna do it. It's gonna happen. And the government has to lead by example. When I was director of labor, I tried to put a training program in place for these people who, but I tried to make it a policy that when you bring people in and work for me, you give me the training program for that person so I can know what they're supposed to learn, who's understanding you. Okay? If the government don't do it, why you gonna ask, how you gonna ask the private employers to do it? So you're telling me the government is not leading by example? They have permanent secretaries who they know going to retire in a year or two, and the undersecretary or the deputy permanent secretary aren't understudying them? Are you kidding me?
But these are only two-year contracts. It isn't like they're for long.
Okay, fine. It's a two-year contract. But a permanent secretary don't need to train a deputy or undersecretary for 2 years to take their job. The only thing, the basic thing that the permanent secretary does that maybe the undersecretary or deputy permanent secretary wouldn't do, and in most cases they do it, let's write a cabinet paper. And that's the biggest thing a permanent secretary does is the cabinet paper. Yeah, they manage the ministry to some extent, but they deal with a cabinet paper. Their job is to inform their minister of what's going on in the ministry at all times and briefing, and they do cabinet paper. That's it. And you can literally do cabinet paper in 2 weeks.
Are you suggesting that these consultants, these big paid consultants who are brought in at these senior levels, should not be being brought in? Or there's no need to be brought in?
I'm not saying all shouldn't, because I know there are a couple of them who have an expertise that probably needed to be shared more than was shared when they were in the post. And like I say, in 2 years' time, fine. They should be able to do that. But some of them are not even functionable. I call them mentally nor physically. They even can't function. They can't remember if the day was yesterday or if they were Sunday or if it was Saturday. I'm telling you, and I have evidence to tell you that a number of these people usually sit there on contract. They do not know what time it is. How often I'm suffering from Alzheimer's.
And before I let you go, because the phone's lying blare up, right? Don't the consultants have some kind of report to say, well, these are the works I'm working on? This is what you retain me for the 2 years and project I'm doing, like a special project?
And that's the next thing. When you are called a consultant, your job is to come in there, look at what issues the department or the ministry have, and you are supposed to review and final practices to make that department or ministry more efficient or more effective. Okay? They bring people back in as permanent secretaries, man. They ain't coming to train nobody. They come in charge. They came back in their position, they left out. And that's another thing. When it's true to government purpose, they quote general orders. And general orders say, if you come back to the public, you don't come back at the same position you left. And in our doctrinal agreement, we basically spoke to the same thing. So when it's true to their purpose, they keep quoting general government purpose. Primitively, he tried to reform the public service. Because that was my baby. I tried my best to reform the public service. And when we did the first industrial agreement, I must give Perry Christie credit for allowing the public service to form. I mean, they have the first industrial agreement with the government and the union, because prior to that, there were no industrial agreements. So I must give him credit for that. And that was supposed to be the beginning of public sector reform. And even when I got a post of director of labor, I was trying my best to get a post to work on the reforming, continue to reform the public service. But there are some people during my time, some of them come to reform the public service, who knows nothing, absolutely nothing. Nobody consults me. And I have the blueprint for the public service. I must say, Minister Pia Global-Rowell, really, I don't know if she saw my blueprint, but a lot of stuff was part of my blueprint. And if you think I'm talking on top of my head, you call my former Secretary General, F.J. Miller, he can tell you. We have all these things that you see them implementing, things that need to be done. Some here on one jump drive, and some of these recommendations have already been made. There's some here in some office, and I don't know if in the public service or the primary office, somewhere around. If we've made recommendations to move the public service forward in a more 21st century way of doing business.
Okay, we got to go, but let me say this last thing. So you agree that there is some reform happening then?
I think
because it's similar to what you were trying to implement.
There's some reforms happening, but again, this is the bigger problem we have. First of all, we got to stop thinking that the public is only supposed to move people on qualification. When we had an understudy done, I think the government paid $1 million, or they're about to do an understudy that spoke to the way and gave recommendations how the public service to move forward as it relates to upward mobility. Everything cannot be paper qualifications. And that's what's killing the public service. So I want to get a promotion. You tell me I need to get a BA degree. So I start on the job and qualify myself for the BA degree. I don't do no work because I got to get a BA degree. I'm at the maximum. I got a promotion. But I have to get a BA degree. I enroll in some college and I do it in the evenings, and I do it in the workplace, then I get my BA degree. But you have people who are performing while I'm doing that, who are trying to get this post where I'm at, and I try to get it somebody else's post. So first of all, we need to not consider every position has to be paper qualified. Okay, there's some positions in the public service that you just need the experience to move to those positions, and a number of persons have demonstrated that they have the ability to perform at higher levels, but, you know, kisses go by favor in the public service in most cases.
Thank you very much. That's John Pinder. Let's go to the next phone call. We have a number of texts I want you to read, Aaron. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us? Caller going once. Caller going twice. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us? Caller going once. Caller going twice. Go ahead, Aaron. Start reading those texts for me, please.
First text. Hi, Ms. Green. Mr. Mitchell also said that teachers and nurses needed to be re-engaged, but the stats say otherwise, so who are we to believe? Another interesting point when, was it Latre Ramming, when the state actor indicated that the information details would be shared with the public in a way that protects the anonymity of those who are being rehired. So a couple of points here. Mm-hmm. Aren't government public service as public record, right? Why are you hiding the names of people who have been re-engaged by the public service? That's public record.
Okay.
Don't know that's a big... Why you think you could hide the names? Why, I mean, you created a list and all it says is 213 went to the police force, one went here, two went here, nine went here. You didn't even say in which positions they filled. You could have said which positions they filled.
So you believe the report should be in more detail?
No, it's a mockery. Sorry.
You didn't appreciate the report?
It's not a report.
What you call it?
It's a list.
Of positions?
It's not even positions. It just lists the agencies and departments. And then there's one of the lines. It just says other units. It doesn't even tell us what those units are. That's not a list. That's not revealing anything. If you continue to act in a clandestine fashion, people will continue to speculate that something clandestine is going on.
Let's go to this caller, and I want you to continue reading, Aaron.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, caller. Guiding Radio AM. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, great show as usual. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Good, thank you, sir.
Right, Mark. Question, right? Do you think that we are, as a public, as a voting public, is to blame for most of these government decisions? Let me explain what I'm saying by that is, right? That we don't vote parties in, we vote parties out. When was the last time a government spent two terms in government?
Just humor
me with this. And you see where you're going out with this, with the decision-making process, with things they make in government. If you feel and you know fully well, factual, that next year you will not have your seat and you will not be in power, would you really care what decision you make?
I believe administration is trying to get two terms, and so they're trying to make...
No, but realistically, when last have we voted?
That just happenstance. That just happenstance, and until the Bahamian people are comfortable with a particular administration, you'll see that they'll keep on going back and forth. I don't think it's our intent to vote
getting,
out.
Or making bad decisions because you feel... just for example, right? If you feel as though you're losing your job next week, would you care what you do on the job?
I guess not.
That's why we're in the problem we're in now.
No. There's a fancy academic term for that type of argument that you're trying to make. I'm not ashamed to say I can't remember what the name of that thing is, but no. Like telling them, we ain't vote you out. Just do good. We promise. We ain't going to vote you out. No caller. No, we have to approach it differently, right? I am looking for politicians who do the right thing, knowing that they're going to be removed. Do the right thing. They can kick me out anyway. I can do the right thing. It's integrity.
Thank you very much, caller.
It's like we've just excused that. Now, I really appreciated what you said. It's us. It's us. We're making the decisions to vote people in. We're making the decisions on how we vote them in.
Let's go back to the text line.
All right. Here we go. Sister, it must be policy because every time Fred spewed that rhetoric out of his mouth, the media broadcasts it. That's because the only time you could hear him say something substantive is in a voice note. The voice notes just show us how petty, spiteful, small-minded Fred Mitchell, the chairman of the PLP, is. Another text, C. Allen has been for years advocating for this data and digital innovations and all of these ideas he talks about with authority. Shouldn't he be an established businessman with all of that knowledge? But he hasn't started one yet. What's up with that? You seem to be an expert. Also, have you implemented any of these ideas? Can he implement ideas in government if he is not? Ask the people who are a part of the government how difficult it is to implement ideas. Would they say equal among equals? Yeah. Another text, why did these retirees not train, prepare those younger staff in the field prior to retiring? Or was it all of their retirement plans to double dip under this backwards administration? Good day. This issue of bringing back the retired is end result of what the IMF or some external body, I mean, when you said IMF in the all caps, I thought you were confident about that. But you say, or some external body observed about the Caribbean and its educational systems. We haven't kept up with what is required to educate our children to meet the challenges of the 21st century, hence the social promotion problem and its knock-on effects. Again, I'm going to find that article for this week about the decline of education in the region. We all want 21st century students, but you can't keep the power on. You want 21st century students, but when the students called the telecommunication company to report a problem, what are they faced with? What do you all think is going to happen? You all want 21st century learners, but you wouldn't stop parking your car on the sidewalk outside the school. No, it don't make sense.
Let's see if I can squeeze this caller in here right now. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us?
Morning, Mr. Nuri. Morning, Ms. Green.
Morning.
Those individuals never used to go on vacation when they were employed.
Well, we know a number of government.
Okay, so I'll give you a personal example. I don't think my mother took any vacation days. I can be honest with you.
But I'm not talking that particular case. I mean, you know, I'm just.
Hold on, pause. Stop. What particular case? You could have gotten a real life example. You want speculate and conjure up what? Madness. Bad-mindedness. I've given you a real-life example that we could speak to. You don't want to speak to the real-life example.
Okay, let's go back to the caller.
And we have some more text, some interesting ones.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us? That's not true. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, good morning. How are you all doing?
Doing well.
Thank you.
Good. I think, you know what we need to do with this situation? Let's start with Fred Mitchell. He needs to retire. He's holding three positions. You mean to tell me nobody in the party where he's in can take his place by now?
No. And that you speak
40 years, he's been living off of the people and enjoying the fat of the land. We need to start with him.
And ask him, hold on, sir.
He has caused ask not him to go up in life.
Pause. Good example. Let's narrow it right down to the issue. Question is, if Fred Mitchell, Minister of Foreign Affairs, so valuable to the party, why is it that he has been unable to prepare a successor to fill the role that he has filled? And if he has been unable to do it, how is it that we can expect him to lead this process in government?
And the thing about it, your time limit is either 65 or 30 years. How come he's been able to go this long? Him who set the rules and regulations or live by these rules and regulations when they have their debate?
Because y'all keep telling.
He can't see it fit to step down.
I can tell you why. Because y'all keep telling little children, sit down and shut up. Ain't nobody talking to y'all. But Fred was one of those little children who didn't sit down and shut up. Y'all are not. See, here's the irony. Y'all are not preparing your children for leadership. Yes, sir?
Is elected again in the government when we vote this time around, mm-hmm. I'm going to jump off the bridge.
No, sir.
Because we can't.
How about, I mean, there's an alternative. There's an alternative.
Jumping off the bridge?
Before you jump off the bridge, there's an alternative.
Okay, good.
The alternative is that we prepare our children for leadership. See?
But they wouldn't allow you to let them go.
No. Listen, parents, see? This is, you remember the caller before you talked about, is it the Bahamian people? Are we the problem? We are the problem. See the way that government runs?
Right.
And then nobody want to retire?
Right.
Nobody want to give up any authority?
Right.
You look inside the average household. You got people who are 89, 79, right? Who swear that they're never. And so families fall apart because there's no rite of passage in a family. There's no transfer of authority and responsibility of the family. Same thing happening. No, we need to start with us. Same thing happening in the family is what's happening in government. Same thing.
Leave my MP, please. Just leave my MP.
Thank you, caller. Thank you very, very much. Thank you, caller.
Are we going to take a quick commercial break? We're still celebrating 242 Day. 242 Day today. To do something bohemian. You know, play some bohemian music. Wear some bohemian colors. If you have a business, do a bohemian discount, man. No. You can't say 24% off. I like that. 24% off stock wide.
I tell Mr. Strong, give me $24.20. I got to add the rest so we could buy some.
Oh, award your 24th customer. Say, man, you number 24, you get a free.
You get $2 off.
Yeah, you get a free shake.
Yeah.
Or a soda.
Or something expensive for $2.
Yeah.
24th customer.
They still selling Ritz soda? Get them a Ritz soda. 24th customer.
Yeah.
Something. Celebrate 242.
Oh, when seasonal sunshine, Bahamas lemonade.
Yes.
Scarlet plum, sea grape lemonade.
We'll be right back. Then finally, hopefully, we'll transition and talk about this Morin, what this Morin thing is.
You trying to tie me down to a subject, buddy.
Yeah, man. I want to talk about the Morin thing. Because I want to talk about that on the Iron Radio AM. We'll be right back.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner today.
It's the lottery of love that everybody wins.
I love you.
Everybody Wins is giving away over 100,000 in cash prizes in the Lottery of Love.
I love you.
All February long, every $20 spent, you'll receive a raffle ticket. The more you spend, the more chances to win. And you could be among the 30 winners randomly selected on February 28th to win $10, $20, or even $30,000.
I love you.
It's the Lottery of Love at Everybody Wins. Remember to game responsibly and get ready to win.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Let's go quickly to this caller so I can transition there. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM.
Mr. New Year, the call back, sir.
Go ahead.
Good morning. It's Jay New Year, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, because, Ms. Green.
Sir.
I'm always respectful to you, Mom. I always try to point
yeah,
out.
Yeah, but listen, sir. And I can.
See, there you go again, Mom.
Producer, press mute, please. Producer, mute it. Don't hang it up. Mute it. Just mute it for a second, sir. We have these high level conversations on this show. We try to focus on issues and not people, right? Now, Fred Mitchell is a politically exposed person and he's a person in the public domain. And so he should be prepared for thorough critique and interrogation. But still, in this moment, we want to make sure that we are not attacking people, that we are interrogating issues, right? We have a responsibility to keep ourselves out of the hands of the law. So the onus is on us to determine when to cut a conversation short. And if a host is trying to engage you about something and you determine that you're going to ignore them while they're talking to you, you risk having the button hit on you because it's the host's job. The host will get sued. The host will be responsible. Now, you can say, oh, but this is C.A. Newry's show like you tried to do just now, right? I on the show with C.A. Newry, and I can get sued, too. Now, I gave you an example that you could use since you want to talk about people. Let's not talk about people. Let's talk about issues. Unmute it for me, please, producer.
Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Well, the question I had asked, right? Now, I want you to break it down for me and explain to me how this question I asked was attacking people, Ms. Green, and not dealing with the issue. Because, see...
Go ahead. Ask your question.
I think it was Mr. Pinder. Mr. Pinder had called earlier, and he was talking about how the jobs are basic, right? Now, the reason why I call is because I made a comment under Mr. C.A. Nuri's post about these jobs being basic, right? And Mr. Nuri had asked me a question. He asked me if I had received it before so that way he can recognize this, the thing I'm talking about, right? But see, I want to get to a point, but I might not get to it today. But see, what I want you to explain to me, Mom, is that I asked one question, and the one question I asked was, what happens when individuals who had to come back because their services are so required, right? What happens when these individuals go on vacation? Does the department shut down? And you took that to mean I was attacking people, Ms. Green?
No, I was actually, I was giving you, sir, I was giving you an example, a real life example of how PSs and senior civil servants operate with vacation days. I was responding, first of all, that wasn't your question. What you said was, how did the vacation days work? I was giving you a real-life example. You say you didn't want to hear about that. You ain't asking about that.
My question was, what happens when they go on vacation?
I was about to tell you. I was about to tell you what happens when they go on vacation days with a real-life example. Right?
Let's go to the next caller. I can never talk about this Maureen thing today. Go ahead. Call again. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Hi, radio. Oh, all right, Angie. Go ahead.
No, but hey, listen, that ain't no problem right now.
Maureen?
Anyway.
I want to talk about that, though.
Anyway, no.
Go ahead, man.
Stay close to the home.
Yes, stay close to the home.
Okay? Now, I got a real simple question.
Mm-hmm.
Is the chairman of the PLP also a cabinet minister?
It happens to be a cabinet minister, yes.
No. Is the chairman of the PLP a cabinet minister?
Yes.
No. The chairman is not in the cabinet.
No.
The person.
Is Fred Mitchell in the cabinet?
Yeah, but you said the chairman, though. You didn't use that word.
Okay. So now, when he has to make a statement as a chairman, right, and it conflicts with what's coming from the cabinet, right, how does he resolve this? I mean, is there some kind of split personality he has going on that allows him to, you know, to talk freely in, like, you know, as a cabinet minister?
I hear your question, but thus far, the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party has yet to conflict with any of the... give me an example. What example can you give me?
Okay, I could give you another example. I think there is an instance where the MP for Fox Hill has conflicted with the cabinet.
You said chairman of the cabinet.
Yeah, but
chairman,
no.
I'm talking about the MP for Fox Hill.
Fred.
See?
Okay.
Different people.
Okay. We have the MP for Fox Hill,
uh-huh,
the cabinet minister,
yes,
and the chairman, right?
Right.
All the same person.
See, because the MP for Fox Hill, he lobbies voraciously. Is that the word?
Yes.
He lobbies with a viciousness about him against banking, like predatory banking practices and fees. The MP for Fox Hill, he's a staunch advocate for Bahamians and better banking practices. But the Minister of Foreign Affairs, who have every telephone line to Canada, he don't have anything to say about Canadian banks in the Bahamas.
Different people.
So we can all agree that we are talking about a person who may be possibly conflicted.
No, different person.
Yes.
No.
Aaron said yes.
But don't mind me. I obviously conflicted today.
Yes. No. Don't. Anyway, let me hang you up. You're trying to confuse me and my good MP. And let's talk about Maureen. What Maureen? Did you see me trying to do my MP? Let's talk with Maureen. I mean, the audacity. I didn't go on to see
you. You have 11 more texts here.
Okay, read the text then. See, I guess I'll talk about Maureen tomorrow.
All right.
The Lord have mercy.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Texter. Here's another text. I love it. Send a petition. Let's start with Fred. No, this is what I say.
Leave
we ain't starting with Fred.
MP alone.
The To be able to give this critique, we got to be very, very focused and specific, so we're not attacking him.
The people of Fox voted him in.
Therefore, on Independence, here's another text, on Independence Day, shouldn't we be celebrating our independence by honoring all things Bahamian? That's what I said when we honored, I mean, but that wasn't for Independence Day per se, but when we honored Paul Kagame and Maxine Waters in our national...
But that wasn't Independence Day. That was Heroes Day.
A text there says, complete with clothespin. Another text that says, but seriously, there is nothing wrong with bringing back a retired person.
No.
You are doing two things, both of which help the society as a whole. The retired person is mentally and physically engaged, contributing to their overall success, to institutional knowledge and experiences. Our arguments are always about throwing out good with bad because we don't have enough room for everyone. The problem is with the people tasked with making room. How we find in these lackluster people who keep jamming us up or keep us jamming up.
This text says, not buying Aaron's vacation story. Don't believe for 1 minute that PSs works 365 days per year, excluding weekends and holidays. They are taking their vacation, but due to slackness, those vacation days are not recorded so that they are paid such funds at their retirement. This is also prevalent on the police force.
Here's an excellent text, Texter. Wonderful text. Here's the thing. I didn't actually tell the story. Imagine that. I didn't actually tell the story. As the text says, Clay Sweeting, Minister of Works, made sure Ministry of Works staff had a holly jolly Christmas. Ministry of Works issued not... Oh, boy. Texter, I got to read that off here before I read that out loud. Mr. Newry, I've traveled basically to most family islands, and boating tourists get away with anchoring in the harbor without paying anything. Time someone monetized that. The people who Hayden wanted for themselves, let's make... that money.
We
that money
need
now.
To have a discussion. You ever pass Monaco and see all them boats out there?
Yeah.
I mean, there's maybe today has about 15 different boats just parked in that harbor. And they ain't giving us nothing. Surely we need to work on getting something. Whatever the something is. No?
I don't have a problem with that. That tourists, guests to the country,
yeah,
who are spending their time in the country on their boat.
Yeah.
They have to pay a fee to be in the country.
I agree, but they ain't won't pay nothing.
You have to pay a fee to enter the country. You have to pay the environmental tax and levy, mm-hmm, right, to make sure that we can afford to process your waste.
Yes.
But you guys, see, if I can't just go camping in the bush, you can't just go tie your boat up to any rock and just say I vacationing in
we
the Bahamas.
We need to have a conversation
but
about
here's
that.
My thing.
Go ahead.
As a Bahamian, mm-hmm, am I going to be charged the same amount of money to have my boat in the harbor in a country that I am a citizen of?
We need to talk about it because I don't believe Bahamians need to be paying the same thing.
Right. Then there needs to be a structure, of course. Absolutely. Right? There needs to be protocol and processes. Then any harbor that any boat is moored in, there needs to be a port attendee.
Mm-hmm.
Because that means that you could sail your boat straight into the Bahamas undetected. You could tie up at any rock, and you could get off the boat and do whatever you want to do.
Remember during COVID, and the man had that reality show and saying all the Bahamas locked down, but he parking on private islands and going from island to island.
Was that the family, the Robinson family. Crusoe family, yeah, who said they were stuck in the Bahamas living the life of Riley? And
he ain't pay a dime. And they fishing and eating.
Eating crawfish out of season,
yeah,
and things like that.
And I can eat nothing.
Yeah.
Something wrong.
Yeah.
Let's quickly go to this caller before we go. Go ahead, Kermit. Go ahead, caller.
Good day, Senior Ryan. Good day, Aaron.
Mm-hmm. Good day.
Did they say that the PM signed a mooring thing with someone who happened to be working out of the office of the PM?
Okay, see, we ain't get that far yet.
We ain't get that far yet.
Please.
I haven't read it yet. No, I haven't seen it in the newspaper yet. I'm trying to understand what mooring is and who is at fault. And that's why I wanted my whole half an hour, but Aaron was round the man. So we can talk later on that.
I, wasn't rowing him. Let's just be safe, man.
Yes.
We're trying to have a high-level nuance, critical interrogation.
Yes.
We can't be loose with it, man. Mm-hmm. And if anybody can be loose with it, it's the host.
Yes.
Because we take the risk.
Yes.
Let's just do that. And plus, I didn't even get to tell the story.
You still didn't get to tell the story.
So don't cast aspersions.
But your old lady take vacation. Next time. Let's go to the next caller. Go ahead, caller. Garden Radio AM.
Yes, thank you. Good morning. Pleasant day to you.
Yeah, man.
It's 242 day.
Yes, it is.
Your program is very informative. I was about to call to correct you on assigning the Ministry of Labor to Minister Pierre Grover's role, but I checked and I found that it's correct.
Okay, thanks.
But I have a concern. I promised some workers I saw, I think they were working in what is considered an inhumane situation, standing an entire 8-hour shift. And I believe the international labor law prohibits that or recommends something different.
What type of job is it?
A job as a cashier, security, all the rest of it. There's no stool or no, you know, I think the international law says you're not standing continuously on your legs, you know. The days of that is over.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was supposed to check with some labor officials and so on and so forth. I just did a Google and I did some search on it. And therefore, I want to call the establishment because it wasn't so all the time. They did some renovations.
They did some renovations. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Did some renovations and have them smaller cashiers and they all standing
up. Uh-huh.
They're standing up.
And I don't have any ties, no string attached. It must be corrected. And it needs to be corrected because our young, hardworking labor, the people on this 240, they need to go forward and upward, not downward and oppressed.
I appreciate you calling to bring that to my attention. I never considered that. I just need to find out which minister to inbox now and say, when can they sit down? Because they stand up for the whole shift.
Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, sitting does not prevent the person from working. Sitting doesn't prevent the person from working. And even when there is no customer, you're standing around.
Yeah.
In a little while, I'm going to get even more public than this, than where I am. But I'm going to call directly the establishment so they can correct it.
But with those new cash registers and how small it is, I don't know if they have any space to put any seat near you.
But I'm talking about a stool. If you're teaching in the lab, you have a chemistry lab, you have stools. So you don't have to be a big rocking chair, a lazy boy or anything like that. You don't have to be a chair with an armchair, an executive chair with swing and rings and all that.
Yeah.
And if the mom and pop shop or the other supermarkets around the places can accommodate it, and it was accommodated there before, this no person into consideration.
Take the person, the bohemian, into consideration.
Thank you very much, sir.
I appreciate that. And it's a good fitting for 242 Day and what it is to be bohemian and celebrating growth and development and freedoms and not returning to subjugation in general. Yeah, but I still want to talk about Maury because there's a lot of boats out there who refuse to pay nothing. They ain't want to pay nothing, especially visitors. I was going to say foreigners. Visitors who are entering the country, they are not paying no entry fee, no taxes. And you say, man, no, as a foreigner, you need to park your boat or moor your boat to one of these docks. And they say, no, I ain't paying nothing. I can be in the middle of your ocean. I'm going to take my little small dinghy on the land. I'm going to use your bathroom facilities and what else there. And I'm prepared to pay nothing. Your government ain't getting nothing from me. We need to talk about that. Then we can talk about the fees and how expensive it is or what the price should be, especially when it has to contrast to bohemians and then the persons who are outside the country. And imagine you having $1 million yacht. Remember that big yacht they had on the beach? Far west? And it was too big to park in the Laifuki, in that
marina
in Albany. So they parked in the middle of the ocean there. And everyone said, how long they parked there? That'd be in months. They paid nothing.
No, man, I refuse to believe
nothing. They just come to the country, the biggest boat, biggest yacht there is, and didn't pay nothing. We ain't make nothing off them. Something got to be wrong with that, man. Absolutely. How you be a billionaire and you won't give me nothing? At least tip me.
No. How is it that you collect taxes, but then you don't collect taxes from the billionaire?
Yeah.
That you, because you framing it incorrectly.
Yeah. Government got to get something.
Yeah, you're taxing people all the time. Why would you not tax them?
Yeah. And especially when they said they writing your government and challenging them. We ain't paying nothing. We the guests. Something got to be wrong with that narrative. Anyway, this has been Guardian Radio AM. We can talk about this more and things some more. And then I'm going to venture into this, what's happening in Exuma. And who have this contract and who don't have the contract. But I need to have Aaron read some more to find out the legal
reference. That's what the problem is. You had me reading enough today. So when I read and then my mouth is managed by a man, and then you, I good.
And you don't have to be hanging up with people.
But then when you... When y'all leave us women unmanaged, then we just, God. It's chaos, man.
It's hard to manage some women, you know. You got to just let them talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, until they get tired. They say, are you tired now?
You think that's what's wrong with the public service? Because it's hard to manage women?
Yeah, you got
to
let them talk. Yeah, that might go now. And then you quickly say what you got to say.
Yeah. One day I could tell the story, and then y'all could tell me what the story is.
Yes. Today is 242 Day. We celebrating, man, being Bohemian. We celebrating everything Bohemian. Way Bohemian colors. Government agencies like crazy. All aquamarine and yellow and black up. All them government agencies. If you see them in any colors, man, give them a discount. 24%. What's that? Give them a free soda, man. Let's celebrate 242 Day. And let's remember to celebrate it. Being Bohemian is a big thing, you know.
Or free water.
Or free water.
Yeah, because water good for you.
Yeah, yeah. But being Bohemian is special. It ain't ordinary.
Yeah.
Yeah, be chosen people. What that biblical quote say, chosen people go. You remember that? You need to go to church more.
You know, there's no windows in this room and I still saw the lightning.
Yeah. Guardian Radio, thank you very much. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much, Aaron Green. You have a beautiful day.
Thank you.
So sophisticated, so I left and went down to hit my rock.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.